Today is the third Sunday of Lent. And for those unable to make it during the week, confessions will be heard after Mass this morning. The parent-teacher night will take place this Thursday, March 24th at 7:30 p.m. Please make every effort to attend this important meeting. The Lenten devotions and dinners will continue this Friday, March 25th. Mass will be at 6 p.m. followed by confessions, and then the Stations of the Cross beginning at 8 p.m. followed by a sermon and benediction. There will be a Marian Holy Hour for the ladies of the parish at St. Pius V School on Wednesday, March 30th at 7 p.m. Confessions will be heard during the Holy Hour, and a sermon will follow the Holy Hour. Tickets are available for our annual $10,000 raffle. For more information, please contact Pat Fons. And finally, I welcome anyone who may be here for the first time or have recently begun to attend our chapel. I would also like to point out that there are certain rules and requirements for the reception of Holy Communion, and I ask that you read these rules before receiving the sacraments. The rules and requirements are printed on the back of the bulletin, and they are posted in the vestibule of the chapel. And I would also suggest that if anyone is relatively new here, that they contact the office. The phone number for the office is on the front of the bulletin with any questions that you may have regarding the reception of the sacraments, and also to give us an opportunity to meet you. And I thank you very much for your cooperation in this matter. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be ye therefore followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you, as becometh saints, or obscenity, or foolish talking, or scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know you this, and understand that no fornicator, unclean, or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. At that time Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others, tempting, asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest. And not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in, they dwell there. and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. These words are taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, the past couple of weekends we have discussed the commandments or the precepts of the Church. And this week we are going to cover the sixth commandment of the Church, which states, not to marry persons who are not Catholic. First, I would like to tell you a very famous example in history which concerns marriage and the laws of the Church. After the death of his father, King Henry VIII was raised to the throne of England when he was only 11 years old. In order to unite the kingdoms of Spain and England, a marriage was arranged by Queen Isabella of Spain to give the hand of her daughter, Catherine, to the young King Henry. However, Catherine was the wife of Arthur, Henry's brother. And although Arthur had died, according to church law, one may not marry their sibling's spouse. But in order to keep peace among the two realms, a dispensation was sought and granted by Pope Clement VII. After a time, King Henry became a great apologist for the Church, having defended the doctrines of the faith against the infamous heretic Martin Luther. The Pope had even granted the title of the Defender of the Faith upon Henry because of the work he had written on the seven sacraments against Luther. But because of Henry's propensity to flattery and intrigue, he was swayed by his passions to put away Catherine and marry another woman named Anne Boleyn. However, this was made difficult because his marriage to Catherine was valid. The bond which united them in holy matrimony could not be broken even by the Pope himself. He requested several times for the Pope to annul the marriage, but the response was a firm no. Pope Clement upheld the law of Christ and his Church, even though he feared that Henry and the majority of England would break themselves away from the Catholic Church. And this is the very thing that happened. Henry declared himself the supreme head of the Church in England. That is, he said, the King of England is to be the ruler of the English Church, and no pope in Rome would have the power to tell him what he can and cannot do. He gathered all the bishops of England to swear allegiance to him and recognize him as their supreme head. And sadly, all the bishops of the realm submitted except for one, and this was St. John Fisher, who was later beheaded for upholding the Church's law. Now, the sixth commandment of the Church is that Catholics are not to marry persons who are not Catholic, not to marry within the third degree of kindred, nor privately without witnesses, nor to solemnize marriage at forbidden times. This law, the Church regulates the actions associated with the sacrament of matrimony. Now, in regards to the state and marriage, the state may make laws insofar as the civil contract is concerned, such as laws regarding the filing of the marriage contract and what property spouses may legally own and other things of that nature. But the Catholic Church alone has the right to make laws concerning marriages. The Church is the guardian of the sacraments. On this account, the Church must safeguard these sacraments. And thus the Church has the power to protect and guard the sacredness and the integrity of this sacrament of matrimony. Without the laws of the Church, there is chaos, confusion, corruption, and selfishness. It is sad to see it in the world today, the results of when the laws of God and His Church are completely disregarded. Broken homes, broken families, a disregard for the value of life, children growing up in a world full of vice and corruption, desensitized to impurity and immorality. In a word, the breakdown of society as a whole. How common are sins of impurity, divorce and remarriage, abortion and birth control. Not only is it commonplace, but it is upheld and promoted. What we must learn from this is an understanding of the wisdom and the experience of the Church. The Church has undergone so many different marriage cases in our 2,000-year history, from cases that concern small village parishes on the countryside to cases that concern monarchs and kingdoms, such as the case of Henry VIII. All the while, the Church holding true to her laws and God's laws. And because of this vast knowledge and experience, that is why she forbids the marrying of non-Catholics. Too many times she has seen in a mixed marriage of a Catholic and a non-Catholic the destruction and discord in a family, the loss of faith in the Catholic spouse, the lack of care and neglect in bringing up the children in the faith. That is why she strongly disapproves the marrying of another who is of a different faith and mentality. This, of course, does not mean it is completely forbidden. There are dispensations that can be made to this impediment. For mixed marriages, a dispensation is granted only for grave reason. It is also granted under the condition of a promise made in writing by the non-Catholic party. They promise not to endanger the faith of their Catholic spouse, not to obstruct the practice of the faith of their spouse and their children. And they must also promise under oath that if any circumstances may arise where the Catholic spouse dies or is unable, they must ensure to raise the children in the traditional Catholic faith. And this law of the Church ought to be taken seriously, especially when a young man or a young woman is looking to get married. To marry someone who is of the same traditional Catholic faith, of the same mindset, who holds the same values of life and religion, increases the chances of a happy marriage significantly. And just as a reminder to parents about their children, when it comes to dating according to the mind of the Church, young men and young women who are still in school or who are not ready to get married should never be in an exclusive relationship. And what I mean by exclusive, I mean a serious relationship. Therefore, teenagers without having any immediate plans to be married should never be in this type of a relationship. This is so commonplace in today's society, but it is not what the Church directs. And it is the heights of imprudence for young people to be in such a relationship. My dear friends, our Lord declared in today's gospel, every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. A family that is divided will not be able to stand. A family where the husband or wife do not take their religious duties seriously, and especially in raising their children, becomes quickly debilitated. A family that disregards the laws of Christ and His church, a family that is without charity, a family that is without Christ, that family shall be divided. My dear friends, let us then understand the seriousness of the church's laws on marriage and family life. The wisdom of the church has been seen in the case of Henry VIII. The church stood by the gospel and the laws of God. She lost a king and a kingdom, but she did not lose favor in the sight of God. Respect those laws, and our divine Savior will shower many blessings upon you. Teach your children to respect them too. For if their vocation is to the married state, they will be all the more able to make a better decision on who to marry. And remember, that decision affects not just the couple themselves, but it affects the entire family. There is an old Catholic saying, choose your partner at the communion rail. There is a lot to be said in that statement. For what better qualities to look for in a future spouse than how they love God, how they frequent the sacraments, and how they understand the importance of saving their soul. And what better way to ask for God's blessings on a future life with someone than to follow His laws which He has established? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.